God. Thank you so much, Father. We can come here today, Lord, and we want to feel your presence, be in your presence, and allow your presence to invade our hearts and show us some things today in your word, Father, so we can better be an instrument of righteousness for you and holiness for you, Father. Help us to be a voice in this generation, what Paul called to the church at Philippi, a crooked and perverse generation, Lord. But you're calling us right here in this sanctuary, in this church, in our church family to shine like bright stars in the universe, holding fast to your word, Father. So teach us today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can have a seat. Thank you so much for coming today. Praise God. I'm going to start with a question today because I love to hear your input and maybe God wants you to share something. If you didn't get a listening guide and you'll need a pen today, these brothers have, just raise your hand if you need a pen or a listening guide and these guys will hook you up. So our question today for you, thank you Donna for doing all these PowerPoint slides. Here's our question today. What would you tell somebody who attends church but doesn't feel the need to read God's word or to attend a Bible study with other Christians? I need somebody. What happened to David Rodriguez? Wasn't he sitting back there at the drums? I never saw him get it. Where in the world? How did you get from there to there? I never saw you. Please raise your hand if you'd like to share an answer to the congregation to this question because I feel like it lines up with the word of God because I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2. So who would like to give a response to that question? What would you tell somebody who attends church but doesn't feel the need to read God's word or attend a Bible study with other Christians? Maybe something you want to share that they're missing or something. Everybody's raising their hand at the same time. This is beautiful, man. Praise God. Somebody named Elizabeth Baden. Thank you, Elizabeth, for saving
me. I waited. Figured you guys hear me enough. Yeah. I would just ask them, you know, well, do you have a relationship with Christ? Yeah. You can attend church but not have a relationship, and that's what you need to have.
Amen. Very good. Anybody else? Very important. Joe Jordan, who invented the internet.
I'm not Al Gore. I would say they're not interested in gathering and growing.
Amen. Somebody's listening. Praise God. Thank you, Joe. Anybody else? A great question, because you're going to come across this young lady right here in the front. Oh, yeah. Here, right here. Praise God.
It may not be a disadvantage for them. They may have problems with their eyes and are unable to read. Which God gives you the opportunity to read with them.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Praise God. It was a tough question, man. Very tough. Thank you so much. Thanks. Praise God. Thanks, David. I believe when you truly become a Christian, when you become a child of God, I think he really gives you a longing, a passion, a love, a desire, and a hunger for his word. This is my most favorite subject is the word of God. My most favorite thing in the world is the Bible. It's everything to me. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, because it's important that you believe, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Are you truly disciples of mine? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you have to understand, one, that this is God's truth, and one, it's what it sets us free. And Jesus said that, if you continue, because that's a very important thing. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, you have to continue in God's word. When you go through the scriptures and you look at the Old Testament, you see like some of the Old Testament saints, like Job 23:12, he says, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth. more than necessary food. In Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O the Lord of hosts. Then I found these eight verses in Psalm 119, and I want us to read them together today. Let's read them together. Oh, how I love your law. See that explanation point in there while you're reading this? Give it, man. Oh, how I love your law. Let's go on. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are the words to my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. For your precepts I get understanding, for therefore I hate every false way. Eight beautiful verses. And when you read those verses, I know that the word your was in there eight times. Your law, your commandments, your testimonies, your precepts, your word, your ordinances, your words, your precepts. Eight times that is said in those words. And you're listening, God, I think about these scriptures, and the listening, God, I put Peter wanted Christians to be faithful to that same kind of spirit prompted longing for the word of God. So these first three verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, I just want to break down today. 46 words. I found five really in what I call the perspectives that if you that can really choose to change your life if you choose and ask him to lead you through the word to a stronger relationship with him, a more consistent desire for the word. And the three verses say this: therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation, if you had tasted the kindness of the Lord. Five perspectives today. One, remember your life source. And it really just starts with that first word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, therefore. And therefore really refers back to 3 weeks ago when I was finishing up chapter 1. And it said in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. In verse 23, it said, the seed which is imperishable, the gospel produces our new birth. In your listening, God, I put God's word is the source of salvation, because his transforming grace works through the word to create new life. Transforming, I love that word. That's what the word of God does for you. His grace works through the word to create new life. The word becomes a source of our continued spiritual transformation and growth. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. How many people in this world need hope today? It happens through the scriptures. So the word therefore, that first word in 1 Peter chapter 1, is a concise reminder to us as believers to remember that the saving power of God's word in our lives is the basis for our ongoing commitment to the scriptures. You want to grow in your relationship with God? Get committed to the scriptures. You want to grow and closer to your relationship with God? Get into the word. Get into Bible studies. Matthew 4:4, Jesus, when he was being tempted in the desert, he answered them, answered the devil and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's a powerful verse. It's the same verse that's in Luke chapter 4. It's the same verse that's in Deuteronomy 8 chapter 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Acts 20 verse 32. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. Anyone here today want to be built up? You have to get into the Word of God. The Word of God is like a fountain of spiritual life and power. It's inevitable. It's an essential. You can't escape it. There's power in it. Proverbs 35 and 6 says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words. He will reprove you, and you will be proven a liar. Take refuge in His Word. Be hungry for it. Desire it. When every day you wake up, long to get into His Word and allow His Word to sanctify you, to help you grow. Matthew 7, 24, He talked about two foundations. And Jesus says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, when I count to three, say acts on them. One, two, three. That's so important. May be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And if you look at the little subtitle, it calls two foundations. I'm going to put the teenagers on call here today to answer the question. The one foundation was the rock. What was the other foundation? Who wants it? Wait a second. Is that the guy that works at Sheets? Oh, praise God. What is the answer? Sand. He's got it, man. I'm going to tell him to give you a raise, man. Two foundations, either sand or rock. The more you get in the Word, the more your foundations are going to be built upon the rock. The less you get into the Word, the less you're in Bible study, the more you're going to sink in sand, because the world will get a hold of you. There is no doubt about that. Praise God. God is good. So perspective number one, remember your life source. Perspective number two, eliminate our sins. Here's where the problems come. Verse chapter 2, 1b says, putting aside all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So if you think about it, in our life, as we're striving to eliminate sins, it's a precondition for us to be sustaining for the desire of God's Word. Clinging to sins will drive you away from God's Word, will drive you in the direction that the truth will expose the sins and you confront sins, and it calls for righteousness. Peter is commanding us to get rid of the sins in our lives. There's a verb rendered putting aside in those verses as applying to a kind of rejection, and sometimes referred to, especially, and I saw this in a commentary, beautiful, especially to stripping off soiled garments, which is the analogy Paul wrote to the church at Colossae when he said, but now you also put them all aside. And what does he tell you to put aside? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You know, we had the blessing of doing some baptisms a couple Wednesdays ago, and I saw this in a commentary. It says, in ancient Christian baptism ceremonies, those being baptized customarily took off and disregarded the clothes they wore to the ceremony. And following their baptisms, they put on new robes they received from the church. Exchanging clothes symbolized the salvation reality of laying aside the old life and taking up the new. Maybe we should try that next time someone has baptized. You throw their old clothes off, not in front of everybody, but afterwards. Get him a shirt from the church or something. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things pass away. Behold, all things come new. Ephesians 4:24, I love his word. Put on the new self, which is in likeness of God, has been credited in righteousness and holiness and truth. So if such transformation really occurs in your life, we should be putting aside all sins that are a hindrance to fully desiring God's word. That's the secret. Desire it. Long for it. Hebrews 12, the writer wrote, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that encumbrance, that word means burdens, loads, hindrances, nuisances that keeps us away from the things of God. As you look in that first verse there, he talks about three times he uses the word all in there. One is all malice. All malice, that's like the first category of sin Peter lists. And malice means the idea of desiring to harm someone else. It refers to rendering trouble or wickedness. The second one he calls all deceit. A Greek term, dolos, literally refers to bait or a fish hook. It denotes craftiness. It denotes dishonesty, falsehood, and treachery. Then Peter lists hypocrisy, which originally, and I found in a commentary, identified an actor who wore a mask. It refers to spiritual insecurity or pretense. The word describes any believer that is not genuine or consistent with what one really believes or says he believes. Then Peter talks about envy, describes the attitude of those who resent others' prosperity. Envy often leads to grudges and backbiting. He refers essentially to deformation of character. So if we can learn to put aside these sins by confessing and repenting, we will clear the way for that unhindered desire to want to know God and to want to know for His Word. So perspective number one, remember our life source. Number two, eliminate our sins. Perspective number three, admitting our need. Big one. He says in verse 2a, like newborn babies, long for pure milk of the word. So believers, as believers, we need God's truth like a baby needs milk. That's what Peter's getting at. He compares the strength of that longing for divine revelation to a singular and dominant desire that new babies desire for their mother's milk. That soul and that desperate hunger for milk is that newborn's first expression, longing designed by God to correspond to their greatest need. And it illustrates how strongly, think about it, believers ought to desire the Word. It's a singular and it's relentless because life depends on it. I thought about these other examples. It means encompassing such things as this, the strong desire a husband or a wife has for their spouse, a strong physical craving that accompanies extreme hunger, the poignant longings that one has for a deceased loved one, an intense desire that a Christian parent has for a spiritual wayward son or daughter to repent and turn to obedience. It's the strong desire believers have for salvation of an unbelieving family member or a close friend. Peter compares the object of their craving with pure milk. And when I read that verse, Peter really didn't command there that to read the Word or study the Word or meditate on the Word or to memorize the Word. And all those things are essential. And other passages in the Bible commands us to perform them, to get into the Word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, so that may observe to careful to observe according to all that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll have success. The psalmist wrote, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commands. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. So when you look at these first three verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter focuses on more of a foundational element which believers really need. We really need that foundation before we will pursue any other things, which is a deep and continuous longing for the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians, Paul wrote, and with all the sumptuous of wickedness for those who were perished because they did not receive the love of the truth is so to be saved. All believers, as believers, it is important for us to commit to a regular nourishment of God's Word. Because I'm telling you, if you don't, you're never going to grow closer to Him. You'll never understand what He has planned for you. You'll never really understand to love your spouse or to raise your kids until you get into the Word of God. You'll never know what to do with the money God blesses you until you get in the Word of God. You'll never understand what true fellowship is unless you get into the Word of God and get into a Bible study. Acts 17:11 says, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things are true or not." The next perspective, number four, pursuing our spiritual growth. He says in that verse 2, he says, "So that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." That's what we want to do here in this church. That's the longing I have for this church body, for us to grow and get into His Word. That's why we call it Gather, Grow, and Go. That's why we talk about three touches that we can do every week, whether it be Sunday morning or Wednesday night or in your community groups. Every week when you come in here and you get a listening guide, you'll have a page in there about questions that you can take to your neighborhood and answer them in your community groups. Today I have great questions about growing in your relationship with God and it's about getting into the Word. I want you to take out your green sheet right now because there's a question that I want you to answer, and maybe you can put it down underneath the prayer request section there, because I feel like it's always sad to see a human being who's malnourished. It's sad to see a human being who's weak or slow in development. But far sadder is seeing believers who are spiritually malnourished, spiritually underdeveloped. And you're listening, God, I put all believers should be motivated by the opportunity to grow strong and mature in Christ, enjoying greater blessings and usefulness. And this is what I want to know from you today. So if you could write an answer for this, maybe put it in the offering plate on the way out, because there's a question that I have for you, that what can I do? What can the elders do? What can the staff do to help you to get motivated to get into God's Word? To help you to get motivated to be a part of a community group or a part of a Bible study class? Please write it down. I wish the leadership here would such and such, because I want to know from you. Because maybe I'm falling short and finding ways to get you plugged in or to provide those opportunities that you can grow in your relationship with God. I'd love to hear from you today why you don't want to be a part of a Bible study, or what can we do to make it more relevant for you and exciting for you to spend time in God's Word. I'd love to hear your answers to that. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now so much more, now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works at you, in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So Peter's exhortation here in these verses is to grow through the Word. Strongly implies we're supposed to be discontent with our relationship with God. Now, I am. I know I need to grow. I know I need to get deeper in the Word, and I pray that you feel that way as well. Be discontent with your relationship with God. Have that desire to want to grow, and it takes humility. It takes a desire. It takes an earnest seeking of Him to get into His Word. And you're listening, God, I put motivation for genuine spiritual growth arises out of a righteous sense of discontentment coupled with the sincere desiring to be satisfied with nothing else but the Word of God. The last perspective today is surveying our blessings. He says in verse 3, if you had tasted the kindness of our Lord. So Peter's fifth perspective here in these three verses, or maybe I would call it a motivation for desiring the Word of God, echoes the psalmist's words when he says in 34:8 of Psalm, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because when we taste or experience the kindness and goodness of His grace of the Lord in our conversion, we realize how blessed and wonderful we are. If the band could come forward. We should have a desire more of that goodness through the feeding of His Word. I pray today that you come out of here with a more of a desire to get into His Word. More of a desire that when you get home that you turn the TV off or the internet off and just get into the Word and allow the Spirit of God to bring that Word alive to you. We should have a desire more of that goodness through the feeding of His Word. The psalmist said in 119, 140 through 142, praise God. Let's all read this together. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. So let's make a pact together, man. Let's get hungry for His word. Let's set aside the things of the flesh and the things that are taking you away from growing in your relationship with God and get into the Word, get into Bible study, get into fellowship so God can take the things that He wants you to know and just fill your heart with them. Ushers, if you could come forward. Father, thank you for these five perspectives today, Lord. Remembering our life source, eliminating our sins, admitting our need, pursuing our spiritual growth, surveying our blessing. Father, I pray that you just talk to us today, Lord. Talk within our hearts. Knock on the door of our hearts. And if we're weary, your word will tell us, come unto me, all who are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. Father, give us a desire to long for your word. Your word tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, give us a hunger like we've never had, no matter how young or how old we are. A desire to get into your word, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray that you bless the givers today, Lord. Thank you and how you have been, I think, knocking on the door of people's hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that have been given here the past weeks about giving with a cheerful heart. And Father, give us that earnestness, Father, that longing, that desire to know you, Father. Bless those who give today, Father. Honor their giving, Lord, and bless them, Father. Show them things that they've never realized before because they're sacrificial in their giving. Show them maybe even a love for their spouse that they've never had before because they've chosen to give with a sacrificial heart and a cheerful heart, Father. So bless our giving today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. After the plate comes down, please feel free to stand and worship. Please come forward if you need prayer for everything. Maybe there's somebody here that wants more of a hunger for His Word today. Come up and we'll pray for that God will give you that hunger for His Word, Father. Thank you, Lord.